B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity, flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
A Patriots spokesman tells me the team will not contest the NFL's penalties handed down on Sunday night for the team's television production crew filming the Bengals sideline in a December game for a feature on an advanced scout. These penalties are significant, headlined by $1.1 million and taking away a third-round draft pick. Bill Belichick was not part of the penalties, and the team's television production crew is not part of the Patriots' football operations. Yet the NFL stripping a third-round pick sets a league-wide precedent that the actions of those outside of the football operation can still have an effect on a team's football assets.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand. We're talking about the acquisition of Cam Newton all day, but this happened last night too, and I don't think it was a coincidence that the Patriots signed Cam Newton last night, knowing that this was about to drop. $1.1 million in fines. Docked a third-round pick in 2021. And senior club officials will also be required to go for some league training. This was reported last night, right after the Cam Newton development. And, well, I think the Patriots got hammered in this thing. But I would like to know what it is the league found, and we don't have that officially yet. So,
I can't believe it's taking us long. I just can't believe it's taking us long. Like, and you can't blame it on, like, coronavirus and all that. And, like, we got other things. Remember, like, the MLB stuff. We got other things we got to get to. Too many things to do now. They got hammered on this. They got absolutely levied on this. I thought it was going to be fine. That was it. Need to take a third-round pick. Take a third-round pick. You know what's interesting? That if Cam Newton plays and plays well and becomes a free agent next year and somebody else takes him, that they get a third-round pick back, a compensatory pick?
Yeah, I know that people keep tying those two together, but I don't understand how that makes any sense.
I want to know what they got. Like, other than that video.
You know what you'd have? You know what you have if you didn't tape the sideline in Cincinnati and you also signed Cam Newton? You'd have two third-round picks. Like,
and
what are we doing here?
$1 million.
More right. Dollars.
Yeah, I think it's excessive. Does this mean they have more than what you saw? Because if that's all you have, it's just the video that you saw.
They're saying, in the way I read this, again, this is a report. It's not official from the league yet. We're waiting on that. We're waiting for the findings from the league, what it is that they discovered in their investigation. $1.1 million in fines, as I said. They lose the third-round pick in the draft next year. Patriots TV crews not allowed to shoot games in 2020. So I don't know if that is on-field action, if that also extends to some of the behind-the-scenes.
That to me is part of the behind the scenes sideline stuff, right? Say you get Cam Newton, you're gonna get this great year for Cam Newton. Now you can't even film him? You can't get the behind the scenes stuff with the talent ahead or who he's
talking to?
Well,
I don't know. Does the locker room count? I don't know. I don't know if behind the scenes locker room footage that is typically posted on the Patriots website the day after a win, does that go away? Again, we don't have specifics on that yet, or does it apply more to shooting action on the field? You are not allowed to be shooting anything on the field.
Read the part again about the senior officials are going to be taking classes.
Let me get to one more related thing before we do that. Yeah. Dave Mondillo, who was suspended by the team at the time of the NFL investigation, is now banned from NFL facilities until further notice. Prior to the league's discipline, he was terminated by the Patriots. So he is now banned by the NFL as well. And senior club officials will have required training on league operation and game policies. Here's what I would like to know. Who are senior club officials? Who is that?
I have no clue.
That could be anybody.
It could be anybody.
Is that Bill Belichick?
No.
Are they sending Bill to the...
They keep stressing this is non-football related. So Bill... Takes care of the football part of things.
They took a third round pick. If it's not football related, they don't take a third round pick, do they?
Well, I think no, because I think this is to do with past transgressions and that you got, don't forget, you got 31 other people bearing down on the league telling them you better whack this team and we're tired of them winning, and they're tired of them trying to cut corners or whatever you think they're doing. This senior official thing to me screams game day, you know, procedures or, you know, technical procedures as to what you're allowed, what you're allowed not to do. You know what I mean? We need a refresher course all of a sudden as to, you know, who gets cleared, who doesn't get cleared, where's this camera go, that camera. We're going to go over all the protocol again. It's like somebody got sloppy here. This tells me that they don't have anything more in that tape, and they're getting whacked for that type of stuff.
So is it fair for
we're
them
getting
to take
on the technicality?
Is it fair to take a draft pick?
I don't think
they,
it is.
If
no.
They, if the league concluded that football ops and football stuff had nothing to do with it?
It absolutely.
Is that a line
I think it's ridiculous they took a draft pick. You want to take money? Take the money. Slap them with a fine. The fact you've stated this is not football related, Bill's adamant on that they are separate, right? They do their own thing. TV is not football. We don't work in conjunction with them. They do their thing. We do our thing. And what the hell are you taking away a draft pick for? Well, penalize a football team. It's not their fault.
Well, I don't know because we haven't got it from the league yet, which is what I'm waiting for. What's the justification for taking a pick? Is it simply because the Patriots are, you know, third-time offenders?
Yes.
Is that why?
Yes.
Is that what allows them to?
That's what you're going to get. That's what you're going to get.
Let me explain
that's
that.
Bull crap.
Even if they concluded that Bill Belichick and the football people had nothing to do with this, is it then fair for them to go over that threshold and take a draft pick? Because you know what, guys? You keep having things like this happen, and we don't care that football wasn't involved. We're taking a third-round pick anyway.
Yeah, because
is that
I,
what happened here?
Yeah, because I think we're making too much of, or people want to make too much of, like, the separation between the production side and the football side. You know, this isn't separating, like, branches of government. You know, this isn't separating, you know, somebody in other work environments. It's like they're all in the same building. They all know each other. And there is, you know, some interaction between the two. So even though, yes, it didn't come from any of the coaches, and the coaches weren't going to look at the tape and had nothing to do with them, it's a pretty tight-knit group. So if you really want to send a message and you want to punish them, then it really doesn't matter if this coach knew but this guy didn't. Or if it was just this one guy working on his own who's no longer with the team and he's not going to be allowed back in NFL, it doesn't matter. You know, we make it out to be this ginormous enterprise going on with the Patriots and divisions and who reports to who, when, you know, a lot of this stuff is a lot more tight-knit than I think we give it credit. So that's what they did. They said, look, we know what goes on there. We know you guys are working in conjunction with the team on all this stuff. And while it may not have been an edict from Bill Belichick or Josh McDaniels or anyone else to go get videotape of a sideline, someone still did it, and you can't do that. And you've been in trouble for things like this before. So, yeah, we're going to pop you for $1 million and a third-round pick. And, yeah, you know what? A few of you guys are going to have to sit through a 30-minute webinar on what we do here in the league. And whatever, that's really
I'd
window
dressing.
I'd make
him show up. I'd make him come to New York.
Not in COVID.
No, I know.
Not in COVID times they're not going
to. Well, no, they're not. But this is not going to happen anytime soon. I'm guessing it's...
They got to do it by the end of the next pay period, or their direct deposit could be withheld. Don't you get those emails? Come on, chop chop! You got to complete your online training.
But by the way, for those of you who want to tally up all the penalties the Patriots have paid, this is again over their three incidents: Spygate, Deflategate, and Spygate 2.0. Two first round picks, a third round pick, a fourth round pick, and $2.85 million in combined fines between the team and the head coach. It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of punishments. There's been a lot of stuff, you know. And other teams have their issues too, but the league is apparently. They're all done. They're all done with this. Look, whatever the explanations are, whether it was usable, whether it was footage that could actually be, you know, put to use in any kind of competitive advantage, it doesn't matter. These are the rules, and you have to follow them, maybe more so than anyone else because of what's happened in the past, and you
all
didn't
right,
follow them.
617-779-0985, revisiting that moment. Taping the Bengals. We'll get to that and your calls on Cam Newton. That's coming up.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mike Giardi, NFL Network, a couple of tweets here in the last minute. He tweets, can confirm the Patriots terminated producer Dave Mondillo at some point this winter slash spring. In the immediate aftermath of the Bengals taping situation, Mondillo was suspended with pay. Mondillo's voice is the one you hear on the Bengals security recording. A Patriots spokesperson was not certain of the exact date of termination for Dave Mondillo, but he has been terminated. At first, he was suspended and was still getting paid, but at some point, he was let go by the team. If you forget what that security tape was, here it is.
And this is a piece you're filming on your advanced scout?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, guys. I don't see the advanced scout in this footage.
No, it's not. We were trying to get some field perspective and find that.
That's not the field.
I believe that. That's
why you would think you could take that.
I didn't know. But I can delete this right here for you.
Damage is done, my friend.
No, it isn't, because we deleted it.
Once again,
see, once it's gone.
It's gone. 29 yards on the punt.
I can't get that.
29 yards.
There's no way I can get that footage back. I'm being honest with you. And I don't have a computer to even put it anywhere. Once this card is, that's it.
Yeah, I don't see the advance scout in any of this video this shoot.
Oh, God.
I love Mr. Skeptical Bengals security guard. What a tool bag that guy was.
Damage is done, my friend.
Damage is done.
It's like Kensel. It's like I'm like Kensel's cousin.
Damage is done, my friend.
The damage is done, my friend.
That's his best Dirty Harry voice.
That's so bad.
Can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, pal.
But from what we understand, they were also then further interviewed at the stadium, correct? And that's something we do not have a tape of.
Yeah.
So what else was said that day that the NFL knows was said that day? That's something I'd like to know. Again, where the hell is
Jay Glazer would have had it another week after that, right? Because he had that one. I mean,
look, and look, the security guy is right. He's dumb to say the damage is done because there is no damage. But it's akin to you're trying to walk out of the supermarket with a candy bar in your pocket and you get caught and you come back in. It's like, yeah, I'll just put it back. Well, it's like, well, that's kind of not the point, you know? You were still trying to do something here, and whether it was an innocent mistake or not, we gotta talk about this.
Do you think that what we find out is going to be worse than what we already know, Hardy?
No, I do not.
I do, because that's been the pattern every time something like this has come up with the Patriots. We get the...
But what could it possibly be?
I don't. This is why you got classes set up for senior personnel.
What could it possibly be? It would be, if you guys didn't know, messages. It could be Dorito Dinky all over again, right?
I guarantee you he probably had to text something after that, right after they got kicked out. How do you not text or call somebody after that?
I'm telling you, in 2007, when the Spygate story first broke, it was the Jets are being a-holes. These were team production guys doing their work, and they're just being pricks. And then, like, within the first 48 hours, it was like, wait a minute, that's not the story. And then we got that all over again the last go-round with the deflation of the footballs. There's nothing to see here. No one was doing anything. And then you just got a boatload of incriminating text messages is what you got. And so there's always more. There's always this extra piece. And again, there's still gray area with Deflategate, a lot less gray area with Spygate, and now this, where we haven't heard the league say anything about it. They still haven't even put out their statement. I mean, we're getting a report. Mike Reese had this last night. We still don't have the, like, official, here's what we found. And it just feels like every time there's going to be something that you go, you say, oh, I could see why they thought they were doing something wrong. Ah, I see. Yeah, well, okay. Well, what are you going to do?
I don't think we're going to find out that Mandillo's nickname was the Taper, and that he's going to have.
Oh, I thought he was taping ankles.
He was just really into scotch tape. He loved, you know, like putting his nostrils up in the air, making goofy faces with it. That's all of it. I don't think all that stuff is out there on this one. I really don't.
I'm not saying it's necessarily that, but something worse than what we know already.
Okay.
You don't think
I don't see any fans scouting any of this video this year.
Not on this one. Not on this one. I don't.
So they docked him the $1.1 million. And took away a third-round pick and are sending their team officials for training, and they're banning the guy that we just heard in that video from NFL facilities. And you don't think there might be something worse than the guy just didn't know not to film the sideline?
Damage is done, my friend.
You think they just did that based on, oh, he just made an innocent mistake, he didn't mean to tape the sideline?
Well, I mean,
he didn't know better?
This isn't the Lions, you know? This isn't a team that has never run afoul of the NFL and procedures and also procedures dealing with this very point before. They have multiple times. The NFL's all done screwing around with the Patriots and giving them the benefit of the doubt. They get no benefit of the doubt. That's why the punishment is as harsh as it is.
And the Patriots just can't keep themselves from screwing around, period.
They're not screwing around.
Running afoul of the rules in the NFL.
Okay.
That they just can't stop doing it.
It was
They just have a tendency to just continue to break NFL rules. It's just one of the things they do.
I know. Look, he absolutely did, and it was a dumb thing. I'm sure he feels terrible about it. But we talked about this when it happened before. Like, anybody in a press box, anybody up there, anybody watching the game could get the exact same footage, the exact same thing, get everything that guy was getting. It's just he did it from a vantage point, and he did it while he was there as an employee of the Patriots doing something else. And that's you can't. You just can't do it. You know,
sounded like a Spygate truther right there.
No,
the signals could be seen from anyone sitting in the stadium with a camera. You know, what's the big deal? Yeah, everybody was doing it.
You saw the stationary shot.
That's in game. You know, while you're playing the opponent, that's different. This was, you know, the Cleveland and Cincinnati game. Well, you weren't playing them. Your team was back in Foxborough while this was going on. No, I honestly don't think this was anything. But
this is like,
as I said, the NFL they can't to the other owners. It's like what Zoe said before. You got every other owner in the league. You know, they band together when it's in their best interest financially.
And they want to stick it to them, man.
But competitively, they want to stick it to the Pats.
It's like Brady. It's the whole Brady thing. Kraft knew it. Like when you get out to those owners' meetings in San Fran, they want to stick it to us.
Yeah,
we got to take it
right.
And it is so easy to acquire information. But you know, if you want to do it covertly or you want to do it quietly, this is like picking three of the biggest morons and saying, go film a sideline and cheat. We want to scout the freaking Cincinnati Bengals and make sure you get as much information as you can. And this is what three morons, it's so ass backwards. It's almost, I don't know. And then to sit there with that what set them off was, hey, there's the open, you know, when you're filming something and you're like a video production, here's our LCD that we have on a tripod and we're showing everybody in the room what we're filming. Like, they're not going to be this brash and go to this to where they're going to do this in front of us, right? It's like the Sticky Bandits from Home Alone. What do we do, Marv? I don't know. We're going to tape our hands with tape and go put them in the fountain and take all the coins out. Like, this is that. They got drilled on this.
Dumb like a fox here.
They got drilled on it.
Dumb like a fox.
Think as sly as you could think and be as obvious, because there's no way. It'd be so obvious that nobody would ever think you're doing it. It's like moronic. Like, they got drilled because of past transgressions.
Beetle, you rip on people who say, oh, it was all Bill's master plan when it's a signing or something. But in this case, you're promoting the fact that it's all Bill's master plan.
No, I'm actually not. I'm just saying that every time that something happens, it always ends up being a little worse. Like, I don't think there was any master plan with deflating footballs. I don't think Bill had much of anything to do with that at all. I don't think that was part of it.
Yeah, it was a two-man operation between Tom and Dorito Dink, right? That you end up finding out. And Jimmy Hotfingers.
Yes, I think all those guys were
like
the ones
you had the Wells report. Like you had it. You had it play by play there in the Wells report. Is what?
No,
what it was.
I, Jim, I'm not saying
there's no play by play.
It was a master plan. I'm saying it was there at all a connection between the two, between the football side and the guys doing the filming. Did they find a connection or not? I think that's very relevant to the third round pick that they docked him. But I'm also just prepared for it to look a lot worse once we get something
was,
from the league.
If there was, and if they would have taken computers and video, taken cell phones, they went through every single freaking email over this, they would have stuck Bill's you-know-whats to the wall on this one if he was connected.
But I like that you brought that up, Jim, because there are the everything is Bill's master plan crew. That is definitely a segment of the Patriots fan population. Everything is because Bill has a master plan. Yet when it comes to allegations of breaking rules, he had nothing to do with it. He knew nothing. He was innocent. He had nothing to do with this. So I think there is a little bit of hypocrisy there. We got to talk about the timing of this Cam Newton signing, though, do we not? Based on... this was coming out last night in a report, may officially be coming from the league today, and the Patriots decide that on a Sunday night was the best time to close on a deal for Cam Newton. Anyone else suspicious about that?
No, I'm not suspicious. I'm convinced.
Okay, let's do that.
No longer any suspicion.
Let's get to that. We'll get to that that part of this coming up next. Cam Newton gets signed the same night that it's reported that the Patriots will be facing some rather stiff penalties for taping the Bengals sideline. We'll get to that next.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Cam Newton joining the Patriots and Patriots penalties for taping a sideline all happened within an hour's time last night. So is that a coincidence? Just a friendly coincidence? The Patriots had all offseason to kind of sign Cam Newton, and the night that they do it is the same night there's a drop of the news of their penalties.
Yeah, it's a tough sell.
Interesting. What do you think about that, Hardy?
I think that
helps soften the blow.
I think that they probably had a deal with Cam Newton for at least a couple few days and sat around talking about when they were going to release the news, and then probably found out that the news from the NFL was going to be coming down at a certain time and said, well, we don't want to bother people. We don't want to blow people's phones up. Let's do them a solid, and we'll just kind of do them both at the same time. You know, they're doing us a favor by not inundating us with a bunch of off-season news.
So how long do you think that they had Cam Newton on the line?
2 months. No, I don't know. A couple of days.
That's how I feel.
Yeah, a couple of days.
This didn't come together yesterday.
Probably wrapped it
this
up.
This has probably been some point last week.
Yeah, right? Probably. Maybe they wrapped it up on Friday, and on that same day they found out that the NFL was almost ready to announce the findings of that and found out when that was going to be and said, okay, or we'll just sit on this if it's going to be coming out in a couple of days and we'll release our stuff at the same time. Do you blame them?
No. I don't. I mean, sit tight. I mean, it's brilliant by them. No. The lead story today is
sports
not,
team would do this. Yeah.
Not only that, these are the most dead times in sports really ever.
No.
And everything is shut down, and we've been talking for many months now about sports without actual games happening, and there have been some transactions, most notably in the NFL when they did free agency. But other than that, there hasn't been much. And if the Patriots penalties were to drop last night and or today as well, if we get something official from the league, then that's all there is, and people are harping on that, and that is what's being discussed at the top of every show on ESPN and FS1 and right here on local sports talk radio and local sports regional television. I mean, that's all that's going on. That's all we're talking about today. Instead, they dropped this Cam news in there, and Cam's now the lead story. That's a bigger story than the penalties, because they've sort of been through the penalty thing before. It's their third go-round. It's not new to them. And I think that fans are like, oh, yeah, well, that happened again. You know, that's not interesting anymore. Cam Newton is interesting. That's fun. That's what people want to be talking about. So
that's,
I think it's good PR
there
on their part.
Yeah.
Right? Smart.
Great PR.
Smart for the team to do it. But I'm with you, Artie. There's no way this all just happened to go down on the same day.
No.
No shot.
And I don't know that it changes the narrative on either one, but it certainly stops us from talking about the punishment for a greater amount of time. So
good. All right. Fine.
I mean, how much can you really talk about the punishment anyway? I mean, are we really going to work ourselves up into a frenzy? I mean, even you are tongue-in-cheek saying that, you know, there's going to be more to, you know, find out about this, or you think there's going to be a little bit more, but do you really think there's a whole lot more there?
No. A whole lot more? No, I don't. It's hard to talk about it when you don't know what they found.
Yeah.
And if that's one of the hard things. Where are the findings of that they arrived at that penalty? That's where I think you can have a discussion. I mean, what do we know today? I think we all look at it right away. I don't think there's anyone who says, oh, they got off easy. They got a light penalty. I think everyone looks at that and goes, well, that's a strong penalty. That's a stiff punishment they got.
Yeah, they kind of got hammered. Yeah. I didn't expect that. I expected a pretty decent fine. No draft picks. I'm kind of shocked there's draft picks. Or a draft pick. Sorry.
Let's go to the phones. Get some calls in.
Thing. You know, that's interesting for senior officials. Like, hey, this is how the league does things. You guys need a refresher here. Like, Jesus.
Tom's in Newton. Hey, Tom.
Yeah, hey, guys. So I've sort of felt all along, you know, ever since Tom Brady left, that, you know, sort of the success or failure of this thing going forward really rests squarely on Bill, because nobody, I think, really wanted to win with somebody else or kind of get to the post-Brady reality as much as Bill did. So if he wants to bring Cam in here and have him throw the ball, if he wants to sit him, I don't care if Jimmy Hotfingers is out there throwing the ball. If after the way things have gone here, you know, this year since they lost to Tennessee, if somehow Bill can will this thing into some kind of good winning product with whoever, I support that. However, with that being said, I think it's worth pointing out, I don't think Cam Newton was this, you know, unanimously well-liked figure around here before. I mean, he's not exactly, you know, your traditional patriot with some of the things he does and he, you know, what he wears and everything. So, I don't know, if you've got all these bandwagon Cam Newton fans coming out of the woodwork, I don't know, you know, how I feel about that, but hopefully they win.
Well, Josh Gordon came here and he was pretty flashy the way he dressed, right, Beetle? I mean, the crazy jackets and all that. I that's part of it too with Cam. I wonder how much of the off-field stuff will he tone down? Or did they just not have to say anything to him? Are you going to let you be
what is
with
it?
Hats and...
What is it about his off-field that he would need to tone down?
The flamboyant dressing and the press conferences, at the press conferences. Just flashy, whatever.
So the way he dresses at the press conferences?
They've never told anybody not don't dress a certain way. Or
what, I mean, yes, he has all kinds of very different and sort of very super... Like
flamboyant.
I'm not into fashion, so I assume they're all like super fashionable outfits, right? Like very trendy outfits, and he wears all the different hats. And what the hell does that matter? Why would anyone tell him to stop doing that? Why would someone
draws attention to yourself, individual? I don't know. You want to stand out, you know, instead of blending with the team.
So Tom Brady in his fashion choices.
Oh, he had some weird ones.
Was not trying to stand out all the times he was trying to be.
Tom was always
Mr.
trying to make
Park
that
Avenue or
statement.
Whatever he's doing.
Yeah, yeah. At least he didn't show up with like the one time when she dressed him when they went to the Met Gala and he said, "Stop filming me, please." Where he looked like a valet. He was parking cars. The turtleneck and the slick back hair. All he needed was a pipe. He's had some doozies.
Mike is in the truck. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I was just wondering, for all the people that were saying that, you know, when the Patriots weren't signing another quarterback, that, well, this just shows that they believe in Stidham and Stidham's the guy and all that. Well, now they've signed who's arguably the most talented quarterback that was available in the offseason. Is that an indictment on Stidham, that he's either not the guy or... At least not ready to play this season.
Yes. I just talked about that a short time ago at that DJ Bean headline. Again, I'll get around to reading the story, DJ, but they put it up on the screen. that this is not an indictment of Jarrett Stidham. I disagree. It is an indictment of Stidham. I said that 2 months ago when we started talking about this. I said if they go and get Cam Newton at some point and they sign him, and we brought this up again with the odds when Vegas set Cam Newton as the favorite, which is something else that ties into what we were talking about, Hardy. What did Vegas know on this? That there was mutual interest all offseason between these two parties.
Maybe.
So if they if they go and get this guy, that makes Stidham look bad. That means they don't think he's ready to be the guy.
That's part. Yeah, and I don't disagree with you on that, but I still doubt that Vegas knew anything else on this other than look at the teams out there, look at the depth charts at quarterback, who is in most need of somebody, and it all arrows point to the Patriots. That's to me, that's just them taking what's obviously right there in front of them. Forget about what anybody has to say about what they really want to do and how much they like Stidham. Nope. Look at the names. Look at the teams. Look at who they are. Look who's there. But that's it. They're most likely. Who most needs a quarterback? Who could most likely benefit from Cam Newton there this season? It's the Patriots. That's why Vegas had the odds the way they did.
So if you could bet it right now, you would not place your money on Cam Newton to be the starter week one?
I would not.
Which is what that bet was. That bet was who would be the week one starter for the New England Patriots. And you'd still put your money on Stidham.
I'm still going to roll Stidham, yeah. Yep.
Ooh.
I think it's going to be tough for Cam to pick this up. And I think, just from the people I talk to, I know they like Stidham. They like Stidham. Players like him. Coaches like him. He just needs to get out and play and to prove the way they think even more so. He can't do it unless you play. I mean, it's not his fault. He only started or played in so many snaps. It's not his fault they chose Brian Hoyer to come in and quote-unquote compete with him. I don't really think that was a competition. Now this feels like a competition, right? Doesn't it feel like, holy crap, I'm going to go down and watch camp now because I'm not running down there to watch them. I'm there to watch a quarterback competition. Yeah. You know?
So who ends up being on the roster for the Patriots this year?
I think I could see all three be on it. I could see Hoyer, Stidham. I could see Hoyer, Stidham, and Newton being
the fact all three that of all you're three of under, them dressed.
The fact that maybe the fact that all three are under $10 million, like in totality, you got 19 other quarterbacks in this league making more money than the three of them combined.
The only timeout. The only timeout we will take from Cam Newton and Patriots penalty talk today is coming up next. It's the regularly scheduled This Date in Show History. We will do that. We will get back to Cam Newton at noon.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Cam Newton discussion to go to our regularly scheduled This Date in Show History segment. Today is the 29th of June.
Wow. That's still such a creepy picture of T-Bone in that production of the intro that NBC Sports Boston has. Really weird looking picture of him.
Now get over it because we got to hear from Ken and Lowell on this date in history. Going back to 2018, apparently he was upset with me over something to do with the World Cup. And I think I know what this is. We also found out the name of his favorite establishment there in Lowell at the same time.
Oh, that's a big day then.
What I stated was a fact.
What?
All right, what I stated was a fact. When the World Cup... what I said was a fact. When the European Cup is held in a European country, it is won by a European country. And then Hardy goes off saying, Brazil was, World Cup in Brazil was won by Germany, and the World Cup in Japan was won by this country, and the World Cup in South Africa was won. That's not what I'm talking about. What those countries got to do with you being European countries? I'm saying...
Ken, where are you right now?
Unipar.
I'm in Cappy's Papa Kettle in Lowell right now. I'm working on the sidewalk. I'm working on the sidewalk. We're laying down some concrete.
Drink some water.
For a lunch break. My point is, since when is Brazil a European country? All I'm talking about.
It never has been.
No, you're pissing me off because you're twisting my words around.
You totally twisted your words,
okay.
Ken.
All right, Ken, here, let me break it down for you. You said you don't like the World Cup because European countries tend to win it when the World Cup is being held in Europe. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and what I said is that...
Also, excuse me, Heidi. And by the way, they lowered the field. It used to be 24 teams and half of them, 50% of them came from Europe, okay? Now it's 32 teams and 14 teams. That's 42%.
I'm still not sure exactly what his argument was that day. But yeah, Brazil is not in Europe. Never has been,
no.
What I understand.
Never really thought it was.
I don't know what my counter was, but I imagine it was something along the lines of European teams tend to win the World Cup regardless of where it's held. I mean, going back to 1986, Brazil has won it twice, and Argentina has won it once. Every other time, it's a European country that wins
the World Cup. Let's focus on the positive there.
Wins the World Cup.
Which is he was outside Cappy's Copper Kettle.
Hello.
Laying down some concrete.
Yeah.
That's what he was doing.
Yes. All right, so this is a multi-tiered situation going on with this next one here. All right? So
yep.
Bear with me. T-Bone has done a great job of breaking this down.
Okay.
We go back to 2015, so 5 years ago. The Bruins traded Milan Lucic on draft day, and this caller was very upset about it.
Listen, I just got to tell you, anybody who thinks that the Bruins are going to all of a sudden start making these moves to help to improve the team, when you, as a general manager, and Neely's thrown him in his throat, and you have a better offer from Chiarelli, and you won't do it because, you know, you fired Chiarelli, whatever the reason was, you should be fired. No ifs, ands, or buts. You should be fired.
Wow.
So it's something about the way he said fired, I'm guessing.
Fired.
Inspired us to come up with a few songs.
Oh.
I've seen
fired.
I've seen rain.
No ifs, ands, or buts.
I've seen sunny days.
Okay. That's the first one there.
Let me give you a little something on that. This is just a quick statistical update on Milan Lucic.
Yeah.
In his last three full seasons in Boston, his point totals were 61, 59, and 44. So let's see. 62, 61, 59, 44 was the last one that he was here. That 44 points in his final season here was a sign of things to come because he never got close to... so he got 55, 50, and then 34, 20, and this year it is 20.
So many numbers.
There's been it's a convoluted, stupid thing I just did, but let me tell you that there has been a decline in his play since he left Boston.
Quiet!
Okay.
So I don't think the Bruins were necessarily wrong to move on.
I've seen rain.
Okay, so that was the first song.
He had two decent seasons after he left here.
Oh, it's okay.
Decent.
All right.
Neely's thrown him in his throat, and you have a better offer from Chiarelli, and you won't do it because, you know, you fired Chiarelli, whatever the reason was, you should be fired. No ifs, ands, or buts. You should be fired. Fired.
That works better.
That one's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, there's another one.
Because, you know, you fired Chiarelli, whatever the reason was, you should be fired. No ifs, ands, or buts. You should be fired. Fired.
So stupid. So dumb. All right, finally, the drops from this date, June 29th. Throughout the Zolak and Bertrand show history, just a collection of whatever.
It is 10:37, used to the night shift. 10:37 in the city of Boston, 83 degrees, some south, and then some clouds there and some sun. Right now, it's cold.
He really screwed his thing up already.
I did.
Was that the time and temperature?
Yeah, some sound. They had some sound. When you have sun and clouds, you have sound.
He's doing cloud cover.
Sound.
Barometric pressure. What else you got in there, Cattles?
It is 10:37, used to the night shift. 10:37 in the city of Boston, 83 degrees, some south, and then some clouds here and some sun. Right now at Kohl's, it's not
He really screwed his thing up already.
I did.
Yeah.
Jack talk time.
We dance by the moonlight, stone in love.
Bring my case of rotten eggs. They'll be throwing up in the luxury boxes at Sweeney and Neely.
Kim, you're a great player. You suck as an executive. Goodbye.
Dwight Howard, more like Flight Howard.
I got a question for you.
Grill my bun.
I think this could be the worst trade since Babe Ruth.
What trade was the worst one since Babe Ruth?
I don't know, maybe.
Was Lucic. That the Lucic
maybe
trade?
Maybe it was Lucic.
Get out of here.
No, people love Lucic.
Hands are, but you should be fired.
Wow.
Cattle's in there. Mike Flynn. Mike Flynn was making an appearance.
This is a big Beatle vacation week.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've typically been off this week, and I will be off this week. I would have been off today had it not been for Cam Newton. Yep. Pretty regular in my rotation.
That led to a lot of grilled bun talk with Hardy and Flynn. A lot of arguments.
Flynn's
back and forth as to whether you grill the bun or not.
It'll come up again this weekend, I guarantee it, because Flynn insists on having a grilled or toasted bun at even at cookouts, at barbecues. You know,
sort of a...
What?
The brioche bun has, I don't want to say made a comeback, but it's an eye-opener for me. Softness at the top, the butteriness of it, and just a slight toast on the bottom. It's delightful.
If you're making 20 burgers and you got
not
a full
doing brioche
blown,
bun.
Are you doing toasted buns for everybody?
No. There are no toasted buns at cookouts.
No.
There's not enough grill space for that.
Don't tell Mike Flynn.
I ask. I
don't
ask
come
people
to the cookout
if they want
then.
The
buns toasted.
I don't toast them myself. I do ask, though. Would you like your buns toasted?
You do ask.
You always get some drunk a-hole like, I want the buns toasted. Oh, yeah, toast my buns for me. Jackass. Yes. Freaking spatula upside your head. I touched your lips.
I think you're out of line to ask or even expect it. If you're doing it for just you and your family, sure. You know when you put the buns on? Right at the same time you put the cheese on the burgers. Put the buns up there. 30 seconds, a minute.
Do your kids like the buns toasted?
Yeah,
I don't think
lightly,
so.
Lightly, yes.
I don't think it's something they have ever asked for.
My kid likes it buttered and grilled.
Well,
like, I'm not, it's not getting into, like, I'm not going to grill on a freaking grill and then go in and butter buns and put them in a pan so you like the way they taste at Friendly's.
I think the main job the main reason to toast the buns is that if you put any toppings on the bun as opposed to the actual patty itself, it doesn't soak into the bread and make it all gooey. You know, you slide your, you know, whatever is going on there, ketchup, mustard, mayo, green chili, whatever, you put it on a toasted bun and it, you know, it doesn't soak in. It, you know, it makes for a better sandwich. But to do it at a cookout with a bunch of people, no, you're out of line. 100% out of line.
Okay, let's get to headlines. Take only a moment, and we are right back with more on the Cam Newton signing from last night with the New England Patriots going after a quarterback. What happens if Cam Newton really works out really well for the Patriots? What does this do for the Patriots' chances in 2020? Let's discuss that and take some calls as well. It's all on the way.